Yep, they always ask them. Mm-hmm. Ask about him, but they never ask about Art or Doc Yip.
Yeah, so you were like an instant celebrity, being married to one of the most famous people in Chinatown.
Oh yeah. Well, the thing is, his father doesn't like them to play, you know, old-fashioned. Playing is a waste of time and waste of money. Oh, so you're supposed to put your mind in your books, mm-hmm. not in playing the game.
Yeah. So old man Yip Sang didn't like his sons playing soccer.
Well, he said it's a waste of money, waste of time. That's mm-hmm. why. And then when they win the club, and then, they used to hide their soccer team because he always sit there in the store, and he watch every one of his sons that go out, so they all put their soccer boot on the back, and then they just slide out.
That's wonderful.
I mean, once upon a time, the father can have that kind of... can be that strict with mm-hmm. the kids. Nowadays, don't go and they go.
Yeah. Wow.
So what the difference between... And I think raising children are much easier at that time than now.
Really?
Don't you think?
How come?
Well, what the father say, you listen.
Mm-hmm. How come... Why was Queenie such a good athlete? He could do soccer, he could do tennis.
He's the senior. He's a senior champ for the high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, track, and he run pretty fast and broad jump quite fast.
Yeah.
Quite far, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. The thing is, whenever he do a thing, he really go into it. He said he practice. Like he said, well, there's no ball, nobody. All he have to do, Robbie was asking him, oh, he said, I use an empty can.
To do what?
To practice.
His soccer.
Soccer. He said, I always practice it. And then he uses brain.
Mm-hmm.
As most of the soccer says, they don't use their brain. He always, uses brain. That's what he say. That's why, So he could be tricky, more tricks so the people can't tell where he's going to.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, but most of the people, they don't think, they just kick the ball.
Yeah, they get caught up in the game.
It does make a difference, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, whatever he do, he really go into it, he really study it, and mm-hmm. he really put his time in it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I know. And he's always neat and tidy. He always get after me for being so sloppy.
He had a good upbringing, eh?
Well, his mother is very, very neat and tidy. And I think most of all the mother-in-law are quite neat and tidy. I was surprised. They're from the village, and they're really quite neat mm-hmm. and tidy. And my second, the number two mother-in-law, she's very neat and tidy, always well-dressed, always neat and tidy. And my mother-in-law, she got diabetic and she's blind. She never see me because she's blind when I marry. And she, what she do is she put her hand over her furniture and she feel the dust. She says, they call the daughter-in-law, you didn't touch my thing, So she, you can see that she is that clean mm-hmm. and tidy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So I think the upbringing, I don't think so. I mean, as I say, we have a brother that will never clean up. Or
Did all the Yips eat together in that big building?
Huh?
Did all the Yips eat together in that big building?
Or They all brought up together in the building.
What about when you were living there? Did you eat together as
well?
Well,
number three, Kuga oldest brother, lived apart quite a long time because they got how many kids? 9 or 10? Can't remember. I have to count. Yeah, they live in in 12th Avenue near Vancouver General Hospital, like King Ed High School, near there, the old King Ed, right across the street there. She's the only one that live apart. All of them live there. And then we were moved out after 10 years to Tuxedo Island.
Did you like living there for those 10 years?
Well, I wouldn't say that there's bad time and good times.
What are the good times?
The good times that we've been able to go to see, there's a Chinese opera in Chinatown. We go there. I love theater. And we go there. And then we always have a company because we can always call one of the sister-in-law would go with you know. So we used to go about 9 o'clock. From 9 o'clock to 12 o'clock, it's only 25 cents at that time. And then, of course, every Wednesday before Ricky was born, before my firstborn, we always go, Queen and I, we always go to watch the movie Wednesday and Saturday. And then we go, and then it's only 15 cents for going in, and then 30 cents for both of us. And then we come back to in-law and have wonton mee, 15 cents a bowl. So there's 30 cents, 60 cents for a whole evening.
Wow, these are Western movies?
Yeah. There's a double feature at a Rex Theater, or sometimes we go to New Orleans or Capitol. But we, every Wednesday and Saturday until Ricky was born, that's the end of it then. Because we were 6 years before he was born. We were married 6 years.
So you had lots of time together and to go out and see
Yeah,
things.
we go shopping together and go out together all the time.
Did you have a car?
Well, at first he have a car, and then after he can't afford it, so he sold his car. So we take that. We walk to Stanley Park from Chinatown all the time. But even when Ricky and Randy was born, I wheeled the carriage and wheeled them to Stanley Park. It's good exercise for you. And then when we're in Victoria, when we go to Chinese school, we have to walk down to Chinese school. It's over a mile, about a mile or 2 miles around about that. We always walk to, except in the winter. I think that's why we do. Of course, I mean, it's a good when we walk to Chinese school. It's good because I can study at the same time going and walking. I always have a boat walking.
You always like to do more than one thing at a time, right?
Well, and so I mean, at that time there's hardly any car, eh? Not very many car on the street, so you'd be able to do that.
Did you go to church?
Yeah, well, I mean, before my mother died,
No, but not
we
after you moved
go
here.
now after. Before my mother died, we go to church every Sunday. That is my mother's, entertainment for the week, I think, for her to go out. And then we visit her friends, after, and then we come home for supper, we just visit for an hour or two,
In 1936, it was Vancouver's Golden Jubilee. There was a big sort of celebration in Vancouver. Do you remember that?
Oh, certainly.
What was it like?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's really nice, very, very nice. Because, of course, we live Wingsan, and just across the street. You watch it, everything is built, and then they have everything there. You heard so much about them anyway. And then your miu chuk kong and all that,
No.
Now we could have a miu one, just a small one. It's quite nice. And then they have fashion show.
What else did they have?
A fashion show, and then they have jugglers and all that. And then, of course, I mean, they have Yiwo Yun, the Summer Palace, and they have a duplicate of the Summer Palace tent. It's about, I think as long as my house, and I was working there, Songan, I mean, that was the cashier there, and worked there for not and then and they have siu pao chiong every night, because it chiong, they have firework here, but they have firecracker at that time every night.
Yeah,
it's just a lot of fun.
Wow.
It's right across the street.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think that thing changed Chinatown in any way?
Well, I think they do, you know, in a way it is, you know. Of course, I mean, at the early days, you know, when you go out Chinatown, you know practically everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love Vancouver Chinatown anyway.
Why?
I don't know. I think it's really a nice place to visit. You know, I mean, at that time we know everybody, so it's a nice visiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's really.
What about the Sanjai Lou, the old men? Do you remember any stories about them?
What?
About the Sanjai Lou who lived here alone, their families.
Oh yeah.
Do you remember any stories about them?
Not very much, really. I don't have very much contact with them. But, well, I know, like, Ko Jing Suk, the one, you know, like, he operated the hotel in Columbia and Pender there, you know. And they belong, most of the Sanjai Lou, they belong to a society, you know, either Chans or Wongs or Jigongtong or Guomintang, or they go to gamble. Gambling is their, most of the, what they do most mm-hmm. of the time. The one that don't gamble, you know, or play mahjong, you know, the higher society, what you call it. Oh, well, all the married men, they go and play mahjong. They never stay home at night. They always go to a meeting or play mahjong mm-hmm. because they always belong to, you know, one of the, like, I think my father's belong to Jigongtong and Toi San Weigun.
Did the young people belong to these?
Not very many then. Because, I mean, the younger people, well, they have their sports and they have their dancing and, you know, go to movie. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You started a club for women?
For
women called Leung Yao.
Leung Yao. We just have a few. Did I you saw that picture?
Yeah.
That's all the people. Well, I thought, like, I said, gee, I mean, I'm boring now, you know. So I said, well, I have to come out. You know, most of them, my sister were over, and they're all working for C Camp, mm-hmm. you know, the Aero brand, the C Camp. And they knew quite a few, and then, well, after work, they all go home. I said, why don't we have a club and have fun together? Fun a mahjong or do something or learn something, you know. So we form a club, and then we call it Leung Yao Club, and, you know.
What kind of things did you do?
Well, we sometimes we play mahjong, and the summer we go to the beach, and then... well, one of them is a hairdresser, you know, and say, well, you, Emma, I said, Emma Yip, I said, you come and teach us how to take care of our skin, you know, mm-hmm. so she show us,
yeah.
you know, how to do our skin,
yeah.
and, you know, and all that. And, well, I guess we take turn and do some cooking, you know. You just have a, you know, get together and have fun. Really, it's not a serious. Well, I belong to, before that, I went to YWCA. Is it Chinese YWCA at Chinatown there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I went there with Anna Lam.
Mm-hmm. What did you do
and,
there?
I have to date up that book, What We Do. I think I have that book. I don't know where it is now. But not much.
Mm-hmm.
Not much. I can't even remember one thing what we did there.
Mm. Why was the club just for women and not for men as well?
Well, I don't know. Why?
Why was the club just for the girls and not for the boys as well?
Oh, I don't know. Because I think the girls are more... Well, we at that time, I guess we don't mix around too much, even at that time, you know.
Were the women mostly single?
No, married.
Married women,
yeah,
well.
Quite a few of them are married, you mm-hmm. know. Anna, and then she have a cousin from down the state. She was over. And I think that's why we went there. Yeah, I have to, you have to ask Anna about that. See if she can remember that.
In the families that were in Chinatown or living, you know, all these different families, were there families that were rich and then were there families that were poor?
In Vancouver, is there
And
family?
Chinatown, yeah.
Well, there is, well, what you call gum li yun, you know, lam chim, you know. I mean, they're supposed to be quite rich, eh? Then we when his wife have a birthday, we were always invited to go over there and have a dinner. Yeah, there's a lot of dinner going on in Chinatown. Like the Wing Sang, there's a wedding or there's a somebody get married. You know, there's a lot of wedding banquet. You know, there's a lot of banquet going on because you know so many people.
Yeah, so there's weddings. What else is going on?
Wedding and sometimes a baby was born. You buy moon, you chow. You know, at that time it's quite popular. When they have a baby, they usually have a banquet. When Ricky was born, we have a little banquet.
Yeah, a little banquet.
Yeah, we have a banquet because it was 6 years. Everybody was so happy for us. So even we have one in Victoria.
Yeah, it was a boy too.
A boy, you
Yeah.
know.
How did you feel about that, about having boys?
Oh well, it doesn't matter to me very much, but of course, I mean, I think men usually like to have a boys anyway, so I'm very happy, you know. But when we come to Robbie, I sure wish I had a girl. Robbie said, "Mom, don't you like me?" I said, "I wouldn't trade you for any girl now." He really bring me a lot of happiness, you know,
Yeah.
Robbie. He said, "No trouble, you know. I don't have any trouble with him." And then, of course, I have more time to devote to him, too. Well, none of my kids, when they go to school, I sure hate to see them go to school. And some of my friends or relatives say, "Are you crazy? We can hardly wait for the kids to go to school, and here you feel sorry for them to go to school."
You're going to feel lonely, I guess.
Well, I don't know. I enjoy them so much, you know. Because they're pretty good. They're good. That's why I enjoy them. Well, because it's between few years apart, you know. So, I mean, I know that one Robbie's friend, a crate, you know, you're gonna drive her crazy. She have to go back to work.
So Chinatown in the 1930s and 40s. So there's families, some are rich. What about the poor ones? How could you tell who was rich and poor in Chinatown at that time?
Well, actually, there's no such thing as a rich and poor, really. Most of them are all middle income. More or less, practically everybody in the same boat. You know, I mean, I know a few family in Victoria, what you call poor, but practically poverty, not practically poverty, they are not poor because they're so thrifty. You know, they live like a pauper, you know, but actually they are not that poor. But of course, I mean, there is some family that I knew that was, you know, poor. But to the outside people, unless you know them intimately, that you know they are poor, but otherwise you wouldn't know. I know that one family got six or seven kids. And we buy soy tofu, yeah, soy tofu, and with rice, that's all they eat. You know, soy tofu, because it's rich in protein, and that's it.
It's over here.
Oh yeah. Well, I won't mention the name because
Yeah, that's
their
fine.
family is so well known, so I won't, you know.
But there were hard times in those
Oh
days.
yeah, they are hard time. Yeah, there is a hard time, but. But most of them, they have enough to eat, really. There's no one that's really poor, that poor. I mean, what you call poor. They don't buy new furniture, they have old furniture, but they always eat good, always eat well. When you eat well, you are not poor.
That's right.
That's what I always say, you know, in our family, we always really very, very well-fed, and we have, three meals a day, at least three samyang song, three dishes, three or four dishes. You can't call yourself poor. You might put cardboard in your shoes sometime. Well, I mean, the thing is, I don't know how the people can get by without any, they don't have very hardly $10 in their pocket, and yet everybody is well fed.
Were there, the depression was in the 30s. How did that affect Chinatown, the depression?
Oh yeah, well, it's affect Chinatown. It is affect them, But I mean, some people lost their property on account of their depression,
Oh, they
lost their
lost the
property.
buildings in Chinatown?
Yeah,
Oh, really?
yeah.
A lot or just a few or?
A few of them, Of course, like with the society, I mean, they managed to hang on to it,
Were there any changes in the buildings in Chinatown when you were living there? Did they tear down any buildings? Did they build any new
But they
ones?
didn't tear down any building for a long, long time until recently, really. I mean, the old building was, you would think that they were forever, standing. But until, now that they start tearing down and new. But at our time, 20 or 30 years after, or 40 years, I mean, it's still the same.
So when did you come back to Vancouver from the island?
From the island, 1967.
And then you went to work at Ningwo.
Yeah.
Why did you decide to go back to work?
Well, because we don't have enough income, that's why. And don't forget, my husband was sick when he was 60, and then his pension is very small. And then Robbie and Randy were still going to university.
How was it when you came back? What how had Chinatown changed since the time
Well,
you'd left
because
it?
we come back every year in the summertime, you see, you don't notice it right away, Of course, you notice it, like most of the people that you knew don't come down to Chinatown anymore because they all move out and their children have English meal, have hot dog, and they don't buy Chinese food. Is gradually all going, you hardly see them anymore. That is the change that I find, Of course, I mean, when we came back, we live in here, you see, so I don't,
What was it like working at Ningwo?
Oh, I love it. It's really nice to meet, the customer and because they are customer from all over the world, rich and poor, hippies, whatever eccentric, whatever people, they all come in, and you learn a lot from the customer. That's very interesting.
And there weren't that many. Were there a lot of women working in Chinatown then?
Well, at my time, I think there's quite a few then. Before, there's hardly any. I mean, like in BC, like BC Royal, I mean, no decent woman would go and work for to be a waitress then, at that time. But still, the girls are still quite a few of the girls are working there. But I mean, like the old-fashioned family wouldn't let allow their girls to work there.
At the BC
But the
Royal.
one that really desperate for a job, well, where else can they work? They have to work there.
What was so bad about being a waitress?
Well, I don't know. I guess they're afraid that they will go astray with the man.
Pretty dangerous job, eh?
Well, because they expose to the man, because at that time most of them is the man customer. Not very many women go there, But I always go there because I and Queenie, before Ricky was born, we eat out the restaurant about four or five times a week.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, and then there's no girl working in the butcher shop or jamsiu gai like now, or the fish store, So that is the change when I came back from Texada. You know, more and more women are working in the store.
So when you ate out, was it mostly Chinese food that you ate out? Or did you eat at Western cafes as well?
Oh, we eat both. We, you know, at the, you know, the Zhou Fong, you know, like the liquor store in Hastings,
yeah.
Above Royal Bank there, they used to have a restaurant there. 20 cents for veal cutlet from soup to pie, 20 cents. And my husband said, we might as well spend our money. By the time we get all it, our money is no good because it won't be the same value.
Mm-hmm.
And he was right. He spent it going to show, enjoy yourself, and going to... That's a good thing we did, because when we go to Burma Bay, no restaurant. No shop.
Quite a change.
Yeah. It's completely changed into an isolated small town from a big city. I nearly gone crazy. That's a good thing that I have Ricky and Randy to keep me busy. When you get, you know, shopping, go out shopping every day, and then all of a sudden there's no shop, mm-hmm. don't know anybody. It's quite a change.
Yeah.
No electricity, no outhouse at first. When we live in a shack at first, because there's no house available. Mm-hmm. It's after that, you know, we live in a house.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the kids, you know, I don't believe in going, they want me to join the PTA or something. I said, no, my kids are small. I said, I want to devote my time with them.
Right.
So until they grow older, much older, before I join.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
And I think there's a time and places for everything. I'm old fashioned. I believe when you have kids, you stay home with the kids and
bring
them up, huh?
I agree. It's,
you know,
it's better.
Because there's plenty of time for you to go out for your career, I think, you know, to me.
Mm-hmm.
And everything has just worked out for me.
Yeah.
No when regrets. When I was young, you know, I was doing what I want, you know, teaching and working. When I married, I said my leisure time for 6 years.
Yeah. Finally, you get a break.
Yeah. And then before, I just worked briefly, just for a few months at Mount St. Joseph Hospital, just briefly.
When?
Mount St. Joseph Hospital, because Queenie's brother is a doctor mm-hmm. in Mount St. Joseph, Dr. Yip, mm-hmm. Dr. Kim Yip.
Yep.
So he said the nun want to learn Chinese and want to learn Chinese cooking because there's so many Chinese patients there. So she said, would you go and teach them? So I did, went and teach them.
Oh, this is when you first came here then?
That's how I go to Yip Guang Mo there. Mm-hmm. After I finished teaching them, I go to visit Yip Guang Mo and, you know, have a nice chat with her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only work. And then, of course, at the Jubilee, I work, mm-hmm. you know, for that. That's it. Well, you can't. What can you, you know, I mean, there's no hardly any work for anybody anyway. My sister came over, they all work at the sea camp.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the Chinese, you know, like Liao Yao, you know that picture? Mm-hmm. Most of them are working for sea camp.
Really?
Yeah.
Sewing.
Quite a few, because mm-hmm. they can't get any job somewhere else. And I said, thank goodness the sea camp did open the factory for, you know, for girls so they can earn some money and be mm-hmm. independent.
Mm-hmm. So how were the wages there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the wages,
yeah.
They go by pieces.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember because I never worked there, so I can't go, I don't know, about 50 cents a piece or something like that. I can't remember.
There's nothing like that in Victoria, I guess.
No, there's no factory in Victoria. Mm. They original come from Victoria, you know.
Oh, the Chans.
Seacamp?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You know that.
Well, we know their family very well because Kuigun's mother, Sikan's mother, Sing Loga, Moya Sing Loga. So she came to our place all the time,
mm-hmm.
you know. So she take, like, my father and my uncle, you know, just like her own brothers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
because there's hardly any law in Victoria
Yeah,
anyway. We're the only family.
Sioux thing.
Yeah, so we know them quite well, you know. Well, at that time, you know, there's Tong Sing, you know, they were Ying Chan, you
Yeah.
know.
There's a lot of people come over from Victoria.
Well, that's it, yeah. Well, Victoria people really have quite a few well-known people in Canada, you know. Like Ross Young, well, his family come from Victoria.
Right.
And Wally Chung,
Yes.
he come from Victoria. Oh, Wally Chung father, he is the most kindest person on earth.
Is that right?
He is really a nice man. You know, he operate what they call a肥叔, and he operate a greenhouse. You know, like the tomato when it's small, and they can't sell it. But it's a law, you know, got the Tongshan law. He will bring it to our house in Victoria and put it in our front door.
Wow.
That's why I'm always thankful for those tomatoes.